Natan School. This is a seminar given on the Madhyamaka by the Venerable Kimpo Sultum Gyamso Rinpoche. This is talk number 6 of a series of 10 talks given at Dorje Zong, Boulder, Colorado. This talk was given on September 26th, 1986.
Sabje mendro du du doni de lo du lan so jo 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 de du du no wen do la wo yong yong gong la ma no ni 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 ti ro gong do zi jen da ni le tong ge sam mi sa ke yong song de san jo ning bo lang ke kan ma me si de be ji wu do do ni Rakansamo mendo dambe su, rimni lanje lovo shima jang, dechen kuishin trevo tenze, yonchen lama jivreje lanje. Loye ke dan lo dan ne jenge, chowum da dan me yeke na. Rokho kunje trake che zamba, tamche ke do da ke che tondo. Ola su tan roba namkan tata nyambi simjin tamche che tondo, zobe sanje che kompan rumbo che dhubarza. Teiche to tambe chula tusang gom sum ju chum bar sa wunyam. Samba san ju ju tu tu chi pangun tu dan de sem bar cha.
Rinpoche asks everyone to begin by arousing bodhicitta, the wish and effort made in order to attain complete Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings in number vast as space. Towards that end, one then resolves to strive or make an effort with respect to listening to the Dharma, reflect and meditate on it. So Rinpoche's teaching tonight is concerned with the Majjhimaka Avatara composed by the glorious Chandrakirti.
Tene ta omanjopa layan simji choyopa le tene simji trupa le thaiji cheva kakpa thaiji cheva kakpa le
This text then consists of 10 chapters. Rinpoche's teaching is concerned with the 6th chapter, in particular with the part where arising from the four extremes is refuted or negated. During the other teaching sessions, Rinpoche explained the part which deals with refuting arising from self and other. So today he will start from the third extreme, production from or arising from these two as a combination. So the text says then the following: arising from both self and other together is not something reasonable, because the faults of arising from self and other, which have been explained above, would be applicable.
Tadi tuenda de karasana dale cheva tan yele cheva la ripenezi tende katsavarava.
So, above in the text, arising from self and other have been refuted by means of logic. These positions have been criticized by means of logic. If then someone wonders if there is no arising from each of these individually, maybe there is arising from both as a combination. So there is an Indian non-Buddhist tradition, the Jains, that then asserts arising from self and other as a combination.
Mubo na nikal chegre kare sana zaman ra wuchi ina zamate dakpa le chebe da le che
tene
dakpa mugo
aha
ko oya tene de tene kholo ta zamkhi la tembe yin le chebar te sene nikal chebar
so in relation to this tradition, the Jains, then this tradition then asserts arising from both self and other together. So arising from self in relation to a clay pot would be that the pot is then made up of earth or clay. Then we have arising from other, which would be the potter's wheel, the potter, and so forth. So according to this tradition, then there is a combination of self and other from which phenomena arise.
Tatajur kuna setan hangi nupo nam chujin. Datang dagi nika lechang keva mahinte dake tang yinji nika la jöpe.
So, in the form of a syllogism, a refutation of this position could be as follows. Given all outer and inner things, phenomena, they have not arisen from both self and other together. Since the faults that have been explained above in the text in relation to arising from self and other would be applicable. So here Chandrakirti says, you, the Jains, should not persist in your position, namely that there is arising from both self and other together. If you do, then I, Chandrakirti, will refute your position, applying the ensuing faults from this position that have been explained above. So that means you would be in trouble. Therefore, you should give up your position.
Yeah.
So. So you would not be able, so to speak, to bear my criticism. Therefore, you should give up your position.
What is? Then, jiktin le men teni toyang do men te kaise re re le ne kiba dubai yomai. Kisa pasam.
Jiktin la yomai re so min dubala.
Chetse kamba ni te ta.
Then the text continues as follows. Such arising, namely from both self and other together, neither exists in the world, nor can it be asserted as suchness or ultimately, since neither arising from self nor from other can be established individually.
Dagi nikale, dene, dagi nikale,
jikten kunzob tang, te kona ni de don tamba nika la yoba ma yin te, jumtsin kanka ser kena re re le jeba, da da yin re re le jeba te rikpe madob se.
So, again, this position of the Jains is negated or refuted in the form of a syllogism. It could be as follows. Given such arising, namely from both self and other together, it doesn't exist in the world, that is, the relative or deceptive world, the phenomenal world, nor can it be established ultimately or as suchness, since neither arising from self nor from other can be established logically.
Gandata ko devo sena kevu pacheran ki dahi nika le cheva te thon tamban mandoba maze kunzob toyan dogo mare jumsen karra sena tangbo dahi da dahi rere ni cheva te dob dogo yo mare.
So here Chandrakirti says, you, the Jains, then, your view or assertion, namely that phenomena arise from both self and other together, is not valid. Can one not establish that position ultimately? It can also not be, or it can even not be established on a relative level or in terms of the relative world. So, since neither arising from self nor from other can be established individually. So now there is the fourth extreme, refutation of arising from the fourth extreme, which is arising from no cause at all. So there is a tradition, the Charvaka tradition, that asserts arising from no cause at all. So according to this tradition, no cause is needed. Phenomena or things arise naturally or by themselves. There is no cause.
So dambu samun suya tab yo mare te ko charpa tan nam ki to chong tin de chong na tene rang yin ji khemong ji yong ko te ro.
So they use the following example to illustrate their view. They then speak of fungus that can grow on a piece of wood, for example. Little mushrooms can grow out of a piece of wood if it first rains on the piece of wood and then there is some heat. That will then produce these fungus or these mushrooms. In that case, then, there is no need to plant seeds in order to grow these fungus or mushrooms. So this is the example they give to illustrate their view. According to this tradition, what one experiences in the present is not an effect of previous actions one has committed in earlier lifetimes or in previous lifetimes. They then say that things arise by themselves without a cause, and they then again, as was said, use this example of how fungus grows on or can grow on a piece of wood.
Tarva long korva yana chokamba dawore sena.
Nasa.
라소
가. 롱기 코르나테네 메이 로긴두게 탈라.
아.
탈라 메이 로긴두게.
드네 세긴도. 타바 롱그 타바스 롱 코데르데 소지글 사바칸 요마라. 텐도 오세.
카사 칼라사 사 로기레.
아.
카사 칼라사긴두.
사가 마도기 메반도 오세.
메바도기 마르가 사치글 파브기레.
가바 파그레. 사치글 파브기레.
Well.
사치글 파브기레.
Well, then they use another example to illustrate that there is no effect to be experienced due to previous actions. They then speak of dust that the wind carries everywhere. The dust then, so to speak, disappears. This is one example. Another example is water that dries up. I suggested that the dust then kind of at one point or the other will fall down on the earth again. Well, according to this tradition, the dust disappears. The wind carries off with it and it's gone.
Yana cheva sama me bepete me cheva ta chokamba dawre.
So this, by this they then illustrate their standpoint that there are no future lives. They have other examples to illustrate this standpoint. They speak of fire that dies out or water that dries up. So fire that has died out or water that has dried up then has perished. These phenomena are then discontinued, will never arise again.
So
after death, if the body has been cremated, then the wind will carry off with the dust that is left, and in this way one's physical body perishes forever, and the mind is absorbed into space. So according to this tradition, once the body has perished, the mind also perishes.
So according
to this tradition, once the body has disintegrated, the mind is discontinued, the mind also perishes. They say that the body is the support and the mind is the supported. They then use the following analogy to illustrate this. They say that the body is comparable to a wall and the mind to the drawings or paintings on the wall. Once the wall has disintegrated, the paintings are gone. And by this analogy, they illustrate their standpoint that mind disintegrates or disappears once the body has disintegrated. So they say if it was possible that the wall paintings remained after the wall had fallen into ruins, then it would be possible that mind remained after the body had disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
So according to them, once the body has disintegrated, mind perishes.
They then
use various analogies to illustrate this viewpoint. Another one is as follows. They speak of a butter lamp and its light. The butter lamp is then the basis, and the light is the quality of that basis. If the butter lamp dies out, if the flame dies out, then there will be no light. Similarly, or likewise, once the body has disintegrated, mind will perish. Body is the basis, and mind is, so to speak, a quality of that basis, the body.
Karse mame che na wo la devati yo na tiran su tene lukhek ta de semla de gre che wang
se yo. So they say if it was possible that the light remained after the flame had died out, in that case it's possible that mind remains or does not perish once the body has disintegrated.
Mame che ta de wo a jin che do de te tiran se che wang se do tu.
They say then, on the other hand, that this is not possible. Once the flame of the butter lamp has died out, there is no light. Similarly, once the body has disintegrated, mind perishes. There is no longer a mind. Therefore, there is no such thing as past and future lives. So they also speak of the body as the cause and mind as the effect. They then use the following analogy to illustrate that. That one can't possibly exist without the other, that mind can't possibly exist without there being a physical body. They speak of liquor and the effect ensuing from drinking, namely that one gets drunk, which is, so to speak, the potency of the liquor. So the liquor is the cause for getting drunk. If there is no liquor, one wouldn't get drunk. Similarly, if there is no body, there is no mind. So by this analogy, they refute there being past and future lives. They say if it's possible that someone can be drunk without having drunk any alcohol or liquor, then we would accept your position, namely that there are past and future lives, but since this is not possible, we can't accept your position.
And now, Lu Jodan, same day, we can do this, Tanda, same Tangbu, same day, Tanda Najita, which is Chayana, Pame, Kota, Tangbu, same, Tang, young people, same Tangbu area, Narji Tangbu, same.
Same dang person and same goat soup party.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Same dang was it there. Dang was it. So, dang was it.
According to this tradition, then, mind arises in dependence upon the physical body. So, when the semen and blood of the father and mother, respectively, unite, at that point, mind comes into existence. So mind comes into existence in dependence upon these physical elements, the semen of the father and the blood of the mother.
Tap pāma kathā la tēn tē sēm tāngbō tē sōng wārē. Tēnē sēm nye pā tē sēm lē sēm jīg rē. Pē nā ngā tsū mā mē jī pā nā mē tāngbō tē kōrā dē dōng thār tā tāktā lā sō pā jō chēn tē nē jīg rē. Mē nye pā tē sō mē lē mē jīg dō wā, o tē nā yīng kō sō.
Tēnē sēm nye pā?
Sēm nye pā tē sēm lē sēm jīg rē. Sēm tāngbō tē lū lē jīg rē.
Lā rē?
Nye pā sōm pā tē sō sēm lē sēm jīg rē. Lā sō, gē
jū rā pō rā rē?
Mēl pē yā sōng. Mē tāngbō tāktā lī jīg rē, nī pā tē mēl mē jīg rē. Wā tē rō rā.
Rē yīne sēm tāngbō tā ngī pā kā kā rē wē?
Mē tāngbō ngā nī nī pā jīg rē wā.
Gā nē?
Tē rā wā sē mō dē rē.
So, that mind which arises in dependence upon the red and white bindus mixing or merging is the initial mind or the first mind. Then in dependence upon that mind, the second mind comes into existence or arises. They then give the following example to illustrate this. First, one leads a butter lamp or the flame with a match. The match is then comparable to the first or initial mind, and then from that the second mind, as was said, comes into existence, which is then comparable to the flame itself and the light that emanates from the flame.
Kirtang jungi te su tam chela me sarva sem chik tangpo ni yuwa re. Te jyotin tso ondo tene tso sem te sarpo chi yungo yuwa re.
So according to this tradition, there are two types of mind or two aspects to mind. There is the manifest mind and the mind which is not manifest. So there is this, so to speak, potential mind which is not manifest. Which then exists within the elements, within the four elements.
Masaru sen yeba ta de karre sena benna cha ta wo. Pu, ta ingama. Ta ingama ha kusunga.
Ta, la re?
Ta ingama ta wo pu, ta nga se kendo, pecha le ta nga se kye.
No.
Ta ingama ta pu la so ba chunang la sa sung na. Tene te la.
So then, according to this tradition, then, when a hair from a horse tail, a horse's tail, falls into some water, and if the sun then shines on this hair that has fallen into the water for a few days and creates heat. Then after a few days, an insect will be born. So the hair from the horse tail turns into an insect due to various conditions, such as the heat from the sun and so forth. So by this analogy, this tradition establishes that in fact mind is potentially present within the four elements.
Tena ta taingama, taingama patela korangambar masarva same yore te ina ya tanda jujin ma cho de same thing us cha to yo mare tene chana sa jujin ten de cho de tene same sarbo chan.
So according to this tradition, there is a potentially present mind within the hair from the horse tail, but at that point mind is only potentially present, it's not manifest, since all causes and conditions necessary for mind to become manifest have not yet come together. Once it falls into the water and the sun shines on it and so forth, then all the conditions necessary assemble and mind will become manifest. And as we saw, according to this tradition, this straw of hair then turns into an insect, which is a sentient being. There are many other beings that multiply by dividing into many parts. If one burns up a leech in fire, so it dies, and then takes the ashes, puts the ashes on a stone and mixes the ashes with some water, then overnight, if it's raining, the next morning there will be hundreds of insects. The ashes will have turned into hundreds of insects, apparently. It will have turned into hundreds of leeches overnight.
Then the day in Tanda come the Yatta Gimbasiere, Yaja does a tsare, then a Gunta Kombacha and over here.
Yatta
Gimbo, Yaja does a tsare, same as Sel Tondor, going Bachana, Racho de Chet and Bachan over here.
Come
Layore.
So in
Jana Santa Jana Hedasa, they sagged a talking butter.
In eastern Tibet, then, in Kham, on the border to China, there is a kind of being that is grass during summertime and turns into an insect in the autumn and during the winter time. During the summer, there is then this grass. At the end of the summer, then, the top part falls away, and in place of the grass there is an insect which the gyamin tsadisagena buddhisagena. And the grass is then used as a food by the Chinese. So the grass is used as a food by the Chinese before it turns into an insect.
So according
this tradition, the Charvakas then use all these different things in order to establish their view, namely that mind is present within the elements, though at that point it's not manifest. When all the necessary causes and conditions have come together, then mind becomes manifest. So they say that those that assert there being a succession of lives are mistaken. They haven't understood that mind, in fact, is present within the four elements.
Long
Then someone may ask, if this is the case, how does or how come that afflictions or emotions such as desire, anger and ignorance arise? Well, according to this tradition, these afflictions, these disturbing emotions arise in dependence upon various elements within one's body, namely tripa, bacon.
Long tripa, long tripa, bacon.
Independence upon the wind or prana that flows throughout the body, in dependence upon the phlegm within the body, and in dependence upon the tripa, bile in the body.
That is what I'm telling you, Tini, but so the lamp of the church, the trap, the same at the soul, Tini, jumping below, repartis on gozi, young, repamaboy.
Then the great Indian scholars Dignaga and Dharmakirti have in their presentations of valid cognition by means of various reasons refuted the position of this tradition, the Charvakas.
Then jome pa ngowo nye je kande se yung gore se no then ta konsu namka la jason xia ban da gore se to tetan jome pa ngowo nye je songo pe ngowo nye je songo pe chowon thor da baba ta chowon thor da bam do ba ta me me chen den do ba de su tam je rang yin ji songa de se chowo de so rang korang thor den do de gore rang yin ji songa de me de so thor da ta ni ba ga ma re chen den ban do ba de
Then, according to this tradition, as has been said, things arise from no cause at all, naturally, by themselves, so to speak. They then speak of a rainbow appearing in the sky. They speak of water that always flows downwards, and of flames of fire that always burn upwards. These things then arise, these events come into existence without any cause whatsoever. It happens naturally. There is nothing or no one that has created water in such a way that it always flows downwards. And there is nothing or no one that has made flames of fire in the way or in such a way that they always blaze upwards. Water flows downwards naturally, and flames of fire always burn upwards naturally for no reason or without a cause. So similarly, all phenomena then arise naturally without any cause. There is no one or nothing that has created phenomena.
Serma te so, tse nuevo kam rabo yore te, soya zo dengi yo mare. Tene maza te so lo droi tigli, te so le remote kya pan da won duka, ina yo soya tewa mare, rangin ji son mare. Jarpu pomo te so, hien tu zibo yore te so tam tia rangin ji son mare.
Kanga se yo mare.
Jarpu pomo zikin yi don wa tundu yore wa, te so tam tia ziba te a rangin ji son mare, man ziba a rangin ji son mare, soya zo dengi yo mare.
So according to this tradition, the Charvakas then, they speak of a lot of things. They use a lot of analogies to illustrate or establish their standpoint. Then, for example, grains of sand are always round. And these, they just happen to be without any specific cause. No one has been sitting around rolling these grains of sand in their hands until they are round, for example. They are just round for no cause at all. Then they speak of thorns that are sharp like needles. No one made them sharp. They just happen to be sharp for no cause at all. And then they speak of the feathers of peacocks, which have a lot of different colors. They Feathers of peacocks are very beautiful, as if though someone would have painted them. But in fact, no one has painted the feathers of a peacock. They just happen to be to have all these beautiful designs, these different colors, for no reason at all. Then there are very beautiful princesses in the world, and they are beautiful for no specific reason. They naturally become beautiful. Then there are other people that are very ugly, and they are also ugly for no reason whatsoever.
Ta riba ta zo ka che ke tenen che wa nga se ne ju le le so wa de ba nam be le le so wa de ba ga ge re riba ka che ke teni wa so pa la so pe kun jo ke wa so ke se ba de ba ta zo ka ge re riba ka che ke jumping bagi rikpa. Re, rikpa te su. Yeah. Rikpa kaki ki. Pogo kago yere, rikpa kaki.
So, these traditions, the Charvakas, then refutes the Buddhist position, namely that the external world and the contents, sentient beings, have come into existence due to karma. Due to action and effect. They also refute other traditions, such as some non-Buddhist traditions, certain Hindu traditions, such as the one which asserts that the world and sentient beings within the world were created by Ishvara, by an external god or an external agent. They also refute this position, these schools.
And at the end of it, Jevang as a legend, the Seba Bukonjo Kayamina, then they jump in, but Cheranke, Tenjum Mambutsam Gubbe, Gubbe Jumse Caras and Te, Kayake, Conjo Gazova and say, Conjo on the Kavachi, Kayake, Lele, somewhere is a Kava Mambuchik and Te Dobuche Domezova.
So then one may ask followers of this tradition, the Charvakas, well, if this is the case, that everything has arisen from no cause at all, if the case is that there are no past or future lives, if the case is that the world has not come into existence, the world and sentient beings has not come into existence due to action and effect, karma, and then for what reason do you compose all these treatises in which you present your view? What's the purpose of that? Well, the Charvakas answer as follows to that question. Well, many people go through a lot of hardships in relation to their beliefs, such as the belief that the world has been created by, for example, Ishvara or another external god or agent. They also go through hardships believing in the law of cause and effect and so forth. So in order to enable people to turn away from these hardships, we have written our treatises.
Then it's a papa conjo, man, but the legend de Chevangas, man, but the Yabuji Hina, then it's in the Legibotan Chogre.
If
Tendemato Kayan Sango Mare, then it's in the Chibuyungre.
If one understands that there is no such thing as cause and effect, there is no such thing as past and future life, there is no such thing as Ishvara, an external god, then one will be relieved, and one then, having given up all these beliefs, is able to lead a very happy and comfortable life. So some people then go through, as was said, a lot of hardships in relation to their beliefs. Some go through hardships believing that the world has been created by Ishvara. Some go through hardships because they believe in the law of karma, action and effect. So in order to ease their lives, in order to make their lives comfortable, we have written our treatises.
Tinata Sepapo may but the legend and may but the hina tenny tendilla, tendis have got up the tenchibus and dejo.
So
this and a tenny jambin pala tsurun zipa pase. Tsurun se de tsendere, tsenden zipa pase, tsenden zipo zong.
So, this
tradition,
then encourages people to enjoy life only. Therefore, they refute the various beliefs that people hold. They refute there being a creator, an external God. They refute the validity of the law of action and effect, and so forth, believing that if such beliefs are given up, then life can be truly enjoyed. Therefore, this tradition is also referred to the tradition that beautifies this life, referring to that they exert themselves to explain their view to others so that people, in their opinion, may come to be able to enjoy this life. So if one desires to lead a happy and comfortable life, according to this tradition, one must then have a thorough knowledge, a good understanding of their tradition.
Then jambin betawa kapa tela ta chema nandre ji kapsa kheda ja chembo re lamsan ka to go yumare re pa mangbu go bare ndu te chema nandre chu gi chema nandre parchu jata pe chema nandre.
So Dharmakirti in one of the texts.
Dharmakirti or Dharmakirti re
so Dharmakirti
chema nandre
yes
chema nandre kars
in a text he composed, which is a commentary on valid cognition, then by means of various reasoning refutes this tradition. Rinpoche says it's not all that easy to refute this tradition. Dharmakirti had to put forth or present a lot of reasoning in order to do so.
Jumping better quarter sota, tacky travels a car, go that any same looks of the goes. Temato Lela will come to it.
It's not very easy to refute the position of this school when it comes to a very subtle point. When one tries to refute or negate the position of this school, then the teachings on valid cognition are needed.
Karti jumi konar chebar ta ki jonane teche thada ta do thamje le jan chen jur chen den jong che do jigtin de saun la so ne jatha tag goni dupar se ba yang mujur.
So in the text the charvakas are then refuted as follows. If things arose from no cause at all, then anything could always arise from anything else, and people in the world wouldn't have to go through the many hardships of gathering seeds and so forth in order to produce their crops.
Kate cherang dopa tar do tene jo le zang ngoi do ro ma go wa jungwa khorang top je ten da bo jungwa yin na tene jo yin min tam che le te chen tha da ta do ta do jo yin min tam che le jungwa jo jo yu re.
So here Chandrakirti refutes this tradition, saying that if your assertion is valid, namely that things arise from no cause at all, it follows then, well, according to your assertion, then things do not arise due to good and bad karma. According to you, they arise from no cause at all. Then the following consequence ensues, namely that anything could always arise from anything else. If the case is, as you say, that things arise from no cause at all, they arise from the elements due to the power of the elements, then At that point, anything could always arise from anything else.
Di chik se nakato is a markada sana, jumping per ranke, junge simdin the don, the number masaba senior, I say. Number sour chipa la tari tanga lona, tanga chanana san, and yamapona, simjin yorava, they chin the chek of the wo, Koran's day cigarette.
Well,
they can't catch a panda with tanga the wo.
Tennidy, come into Baritan.
They cut away somewhere
last. So, at this point,
yeah.
Rinpoche thinks that, in fact, Chandrakirti hasn't been able to
maintain this
tradition by what he just said. Since the Charvakas say that mind is potentially present, so to speak, within the elements, at that point, mind is not yet manifest. And as we saw, they gave the Charvakas the following example, namely the hair from a horse tail that fell into water and then the sun was shining on it and it turned into an insect. And at that point, when all the necessary causes and conditions had assembled, it turned into a sentient being. So for that reason, at this point in the text, Rinpoche thinks Chandrakirti has not been able to fully negate or refute the Charvakas, since they speak of mind as being potentially present, so to speak, within the elements. In the text composed by Chandrakirti, which is a commentary on the teachings on valid cognitions, cognition. There is then one chapter that refutes or negates this position of the Charvakas, and the arguments put forth there, the reasons put forth there, are extremely subtle, Rinpoche says. At this point in the Madhyamaka Avatara, the reason put forth by Chandrakirti is not all that subtle.
Jenjong Chedon Jikin de Yasamon Lasone Jata Tag Goni Duber Sever Yamjur Devu Loto La Jun Loto Laso Panjong Chedo Jikin de Yasamon Laso Pa Kava Jata Mambu Goni Tene Duber Sever Yam Jugumares.
And as was said in the text, Chandrakirti says that if your assertion is valid, then people in the world wouldn't have to go through the many hardships of gathering seeds and so forth in order to produce their crops. So this is the consequence Chandrakirti states, namely, if the external world and sentient beings arose from no cause at all, then people in the world wouldn't have to go through a lot of hardships in order to produce their crops. They wouldn't have to gather seeds. They wouldn't have to cultivate their fields and so forth.
Great. In a jumping across in Jungite, Sentinte, Jungili, Lang and Dromoga by Jungile Chow, where the same matter young, Sentinke Lega Jago, Jumila Somare, Segamado, Tento Lasso, but the so Jumila Somare is lovely.
Well, in fact, the Charvakas have never stated that crops arise naturally. One doesn't have to sow seeds, cultivate the fields, and so forth. In fact, what they say is that mind then is present within the four elements, though at that point it's not manifest. And when certain causes and conditions, when the necessary causes and conditions have assembled, then sentient beings arise due to that these causes and conditions have assembled. In fact, the Charvakas have never stated that there is no need to make an effort with respect to, for example, producing crops and so forth.
Kartin Rova Juyu Tungbar Jona Namkaye Upar Laye Tendo Chigin Zongdo Minina kendo chetan jikten zimba yimba teyi ser, rangda lu yin jikten gyole yimba hibar chi.
De ngon pu gi sem de sogi marabe, kinyan pu togi marabe.
Kare.
Ngon pu.
Rangda lu yin jikten gyole yimba hibar chi. Tema tome.
Then Chandrakirti continues in the text as follows. If beings were devoid of causes, they would be inapprehensible like the scent and color of a sky flower or sky lotus. But since these extremely diverse beings are apprehensible, one should understand them to have arisen from their own causes. So here Chandrakirti says that if your position were true, namely that things have arisen from no cause at all, that the law of action and effect, karma, is not valid, and that there is no such thing as past and present lives. If then that is valid, it follows then the consequence of your position is that one wouldn't be able to perceive anything, to apprehend anything. If beings are devoid of causes, then they would be inapprehensible like the scent and color of a sky flower. A consequence could be stated as follows. The world and all beings are inapprehensible since they have arisen from no cause at all, as for example a sky flower or a sky lotus. So here Chandrakirti says that beings and the world could then not be directly perceived. They would be inapprehensible since they have, as you say, arisen from no cause at all, as for example a sky flower, a sky lotus. This consequence that has been stated here seems to be a correct or perfect one. Since whatever is perceived through direct cognition of the senses must have come into existence due to various causes and conditions. Otherwise, nothing could be perceived directly through the senses, could not be validly cognized through the senses. So, in the form of an argument or a syllogism, it could be as follows. Given the world and beings in the world, they have arisen from specific causes. Since these extremely diverse beings are apprehensible, one can perceive them through the senses, just as a perception of blue.
Pena, Mumbun Zimbelote Mumbun Zimbelote, Mumbu, the Wangbulatin, Jijin Latin, Jibarawa. Then I hear this.
So a mind that perceives blue, then perceives blue independence upon certain causes and conditions, such as there being a blue patch of color, the sense faculties, and so forth. So in the Madhyamaka Avatara, there are only the reasons mentioned by means of which then this tradition, the Charvakas, is to be refuted. So there are very few arguments presented in the text. If one desires then to refute this tradition, the Charvakas, totally or completely, subtle analysis and reasoning is needed. And in order to be able to engage in that, one needs then the text mentioned by Dharmakirti, which is a commentary on the teachings on valid cognition. So if one made use of the reasoning put forth in this text by Dharmakirti, then maybe after a few years of debate, one would be able to repute this tradition, the Charvakas. So it would take some time. So, up to here in the text, then, arising from any of the four extremes have been refuted. So, most people, when concerned with or studying refuting arising from any of the four extremes, think that it's very easy to refute arising from no cause at all. But Rinpoche says, in his opinion, it's not very easy. So things have no true existence since they have not arisen from any of the four extremes, namely self, other, both together, and no cause at all. There are no things or phenomena that have arisen in dependence upon any of these four extremes. So given all outer and inner things or phenomena, in relation to them, there is no true arising or inherently existing arising, since they have not arisen from self, other, both together, or no cause at all. This is then one reason used in the Madhyamaka tradition, which, as we have seen, refutes arising from any of the four extremes. It's called the Vajra slivers. And one does not present such a syllogism or reason at once. One first criticizes the view held by the opponent. Once the opponent has been convinced of that his or her position is faulty, then this syllogism or reason is put forth. At that point, once the opponent has been refuted, become convinced of that his or her position is not valid, then, as was said, one would present this reason. One would, for example, state the following syllogism: given all inner and outer phenomena, they have not arisen. They have not truly arisen, since they have not arisen from any of the four extremes, self, other, both together, or no cause at all. So such a syllogism is only used once the opponent has been refuted.
Tene chetan ta gumbu ludo biyab seje umirik pa jata mangbo yore te rikpa tsovo tu duna tene rikpa tsovo ngare.
So hundreds of reasons or syllogisms were presented by Nagarjuna and his followers. They can all be summed up into five.
Tene rikpa tangbo te chik to raja ten zikre. Chik to raja ten zikre sinanga ngobo na chujin. Rangin ji sinanga ngobo na chujin. Jewa me te chik to tamme rangin len debesel. Benna zung nyi ji. Kipata.
As was said, there are five great reasons, called the five great reasons of the Madhyamaka tradition. The first is termed beyond one or many, beyond one and many. That an example would be as follows: given all outer and inner things or phenomena, they have not truly arisen. Since they are beyond one and many. Like, for example, an image on a film screen, or an image appearing in the television. So by means of this syllogism or reason, one then, or through it, one analyzes or investigates the essence of a given phenomenon, and the investigation will result in that one comes to understand that in fact there is no truly existent essence or self-entity in phenomena. That's the purpose of it. So the great scholar Shantarakshita, in his Umagen, Ornament of the Madhyamaka Tradition, has then mainly used this syllogism or reason in order to establish that phenomena have no true essence, phenomena have no reality, and one is able by means of this reason to establish that. So by means of this reason only, beyond one and many, one is able to establish that there is no true arising of phenomena than in relation to refuting arising from any of the four extremes. According to the Madhyamaka tradition, there is not a single phenomenon which has reality, which is truly existent, whatever one considers, whether related to samsara or nirvana, there are no real phenomena, truly existent phenomena. If one would come to the conclusion that certain things are real and solid, truly existent, then by making use of this reason beyond one and many, one will be able to refute true existence, to come to an understanding of that in fact phenomena have no reality, no true existence.
Then ta chik to ra ji ten se ji wang ji do se na chik to ra ji ten se ji ngo ma do ba do cha na ten ni che wa me ba ta su le la wo yong go ye ngo me na che wa si ga ma.
So if one by means of this reason beyond one and many establishes that phenomena have no reality, have no essence, no real or true essence, then once that is established, it's very easy to understand or establish that there is no real arising, no true arising, since all phenomena, whatever is considered, each and every phenomenon is empty of a real essence, is empty of reality. For that reason, arising as well is empty of reality. So if one dreams of a snake and recognizes that one is dreaming, if one at that point understands as a result of recognizing the dream for what it is, that the snake has no real essence, then it will be very easy for one to understand that the snake has not truly arisen, since it has no real essence. So in the Rangdong system, in the empty of self approach, it is established that the Buddha nature as well has no real essence by means of this reason beyond one and many. Whereas according to the Shentong tradition, the empty of other approach, then by such reason, one is able to establish the emptiness of the Buddha nature in relation to it, in relation to the conceptual mind. So it's only an aspect, so to speak, of the Buddha nature that can be refuted by this type of reasoning. One is not able to establish the emptiness of the Buddha nature as presented in the Rangdong system. One is only able to refute that aspect, namely the conceptual aspect of the Buddha nature. That is what is established as empty by means of this reason or this type of reasoning. The aspect of the Buddha nature which is beyond the conceptual mind cannot be established as empty by means of this type of reasoning. So reasoning is then related to the conceptual mind. It exists for the conceptual mind. It is through the conceptual mind that one refutes a specific position and establishes another. So at that point, in terms of reasoning, what is that which is considered the subject matter of the discussion is conceptual.
In ta ran dong lo ye ya se be kap so ten ne chik to ra je ten se ke de me de ten le bre ma to pe chu chi ga yo ma ta.
Whereas according to this tradition, the empty of self approach or the Rangdong system, if that system is taken as the basis, then there is not a single phenomenon which can't be established as empty of a real essence, of a true essence, by means of the reasoning mentioned.
Then, that ten se ni ba te, dorje zengme tenche ta 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 ma ko ma ta ko teres.
So the second reasoning reason is the Vajra's livers, which was mentioned already. So beyond one and many is the first of the five. The Vajra's livers is the second of the five.
So what any jola jola che te cheva me patu pare.
By means of that, or in relation to that reason, the Vajra's livers, one jola chene.
Cheme do pa. One
analyzes the cause of a given phenomenon or the causes of a given phenomenon, and by that analysis one is then enabled to establish that one is able to establish that there is no true arising or truly existent arising of phenomena. Then there is the third of the five reasons, at which point one analyzes the effect of something, and in dependence upon that analysis one is then able to establish that there is no true arising of phenomena. That reason then refutes true arising of phenomena, that a given phenomenon could have arisen from an already truly existent effect, or on the other hand, from the absence of an effect. So the syllogism would be as follows: given inner and outer phenomena, they have not truly arisen, since at the time of the cause, or their causes, they did not arise from an already existent effect, nor from an absence of the effect, nor from a combination of these two, or from something other than these two possibilities. So there are these four alternatives. The first is then that a given phenomenon could have arisen from an already existent effect, namely that the effect is present at the time of the cause. And then there are the three other alternatives. Rinpoche says that in relation to refuting arising from any of these four alternatives, one has to refute each alternative individually by means of various reasons.
Retene ta yebate jumde nika la chepa mo ye chen go gten chir.
Mo shi chen go gi konsi. Ore. So now we've come to the fourth of the five great reasons, at which point one analyzes both cause and effect, and in relation to this analysis one refutes arising from four alternatives. So again, in the form of a syllogism, it would be as follows: given inner and outer phenomena, they have not truly arisen, since one truly existent cause cannot produce one truly existent effect, and since one truly existent cause cannot produce many truly existent effects, and since many truly existent causes cannot produce many truly existent effects, and since many truly existent causes cannot produce one truly existent effect.
If
one goes deeper into this type of reason, one will find that a lot of reasoning must be applied, and the process of reasoning or analysis becomes very subtle.
Penna zoma dutin chami da hipa keji chami so la tene te rakpa ten da wichi ana che bar
so when this reason is then applied in relation to refute there being truly existent indivisible atomic particles or truly existent moments of consciousness, then by this fourth reason, one is able, in relation to the two things mentioned, to establish that neither of these has truly arisen.
Then the thing in the tower, the tower cave capsule, the thing chicky tower chicky avata, the thing tower chicky tomate was all the taketana, many matter of it.
So, if one then analyzes in the following way, one then considers, for example, if one subtle atomic particle, indivisible atomic particle, can or could have produced many atomic particles, or if many atomic particles produce one atomic particle, and so forth, one will see that this type of reasoning becomes very subtle. Trava dogres. Trava dogres.
Trava. Trava dogres.
Trava dogres. Tene. Digi shula kare song song.
Trava re tene cheva. Dutin the mato pare. Mato pare lela wo to. Mato pare to to gres.
And one will be able. Dadultun di mato pare.
Re.
And one will be able to understand and realize that there is no such thing as truly existent atomic particles, indivisible atoms.
Then the atom yin to mubo kante chile chie na yang chik to da rikpa tenda wu chie na tene mato pato to.
And this reason can then be applied to any phenomenon, and one is enabled by it to understand and realize that there are no truly existent phenomena, that things have no reality.
Tena jampe belo le cheba nga se me ba to le re de go re ma to chen de den ba to ba de go re tene jampe pa la chi jampe ba ka pa la chi to da chi tin chi de sa po yu sa re kare sa na chen de den ba me ba to to na tene le la wo cha lo ye koran ki cheba nga se da le jun de ye ma re ma to chen de den ba de go re ke le.
So the Charvakas then deny there being a succession of births, past and present lives, though they think or conceive of this life as truly existent. So Rinpoche says, when trying to refute their position, it would then be useful to apply the reason mentioned, by means of which one is able to establish that things have no reality, including this life. So by means of such reasoning, one is able to refute their position. Then we have come to the fifth of the five great reasons, which is that one reasons through dependent arising or interdependence. Again, in the form of a syllogism, it would be as follows. Given inner and outer things or phenomena, they have no inherent existence since they are dependent arisings, just as things dreamt of or things appearing in a dream. So in the Treasury of Knowledge, for example, Jamgun Kongtrul the first refers to this fifth reason as the king of reasons, since by it one is able to refute both eternalism and nihilism. So this then concludes Rinpoche's teaching, which has been concerned with refuting arising from any of the four extremes. Rinpoche, as we have seen, has based his teaching on the Majjhimaka Avatara, and in relation to refuting arising from any of the four extremes, he mentioned the five great reasons of the Majjhimaka tradition, the Vajras livers, and so forth. So in terms of reasoning, in specific then the five mentioned, then in terms of the Rangdong system or empty of self-approach, there are the two sub-schools, as we have seen, the Svatantrikas and Prasangikas. Then in relation to the Svatantrikas, the term true existence has to be used in the different reasons or syllogisms, whereas in terms of the Prasangikas, that term doesn't have to be used, or is not used to be used in the different syllogisms.
Is the door one the no so joy do don't door one my jimboy then a good do change is also